I'm happy to be back here at St. Mary's. I've been, for the past several years, when I come to Corning, I've been staying in the rectory here. Father Walter has been very hospitable, and this week I've been here for several days. But his predecessors were also very hospitable, so that means the parish itself is quite welcoming of priests, and that's a good sign. So I'm happy to be here. It's a beautiful summer day, but it's more beautiful to be here in the presence of the Lord, to be able to worship him in the middle of the day in this beautiful church. Let's take a moment to reflect on these readings, both of which have great lessons for us. I'll just try to pick out a few of them. The first reading is the explanation for why it took 40 years for the people of God, people of Israel, to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. It doesn't take 40 years to walk that distance across the desert. They actually got to the edge of the Promised Land in a few months, including a stop at Mount Sinai and getting the Ten Commandments and a lot of ups and downs, but they really were there within a few months. And then Moses sent 12 men to reconnoiter the land, to see what's there in the Promised Land, what are we going to face when we cross the Jordan. And in this reading, it says that they saw that it really is a land flowing with milk and honey, a beautiful land, a great land, but it's also full of people, and they were quite intimidated by the people. At least most of the men who were doing the reconnoitering were intimidated. And I think what we can learn here is the effect of fear on us. Listen to what they say about the people of the land. It says the people there, these are the detractors now, the ones who are opposing the will of God. They're saying, all the people there, we saw there, are huge, veritable giants. We felt like mere grasshoppers, and so we must have seemed to them. Now, giants and grasshoppers is obviously an exaggeration. No matter how big they were, no matter how small the Jews were, it's not giants and grasshoppers. That's what fear does. It distorts our perception of reality. It makes things look worse than they really are. Maybe the opponents, the Canaanites and the Jebusites and Hittites, maybe they were bigger and better armed than the Jews, yeah. But it wasn't giants and grasshoppers. Fear made it look that way. The other thing fear does to us is it turns our eyes away from the Lord and onto ourselves. Remember, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, were opposed by 900 chariots with armed soldiers on them. If they ever felt like grasshoppers, it should have been that time when they were leaving as slaves with nothing. They were just fleeing, and they had all the whole army of Egypt after them. But that was no problem because God was fighting for them. And if they put their trust in God, they wouldn't have to worry about the Egyptians. If they put their trust in God, they wouldn't have to worry about the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites. Doesn't matter if they're grasshoppers. In fact, that makes no difference at all. The power comes from God, not from them. So you see what fear does. It distorts our perception of our difficulties, and it turns us away from God and makes us focus on ourselves. In today's gospel, we have the counter to that negative experience or that negative example of the Israelites. We have the story of this great woman of faith who's not even a Jew. In fact, she herself is a Canaanite. She belongs to one of the tribes that the Israelites were so afraid of. So here's a Canaanite woman. Jesus has gone north of the Holy Land. He's gone into pagan territory, and a pagan woman comes up and pleads with him repeatedly to help her daughter who's possessed by a demon. She even refers to him as Lord, Son of David, which is a title of the Messiah. Jesus treats this woman in a very unusual way. His first response is silence. He doesn't say anything. His second response is to indicate that he has something else to do first, meaning take care of the children of Israel. And his third response, because she doesn't give up, his third response is to say it's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs, which strikes us as being a very insulting way of putting her down. Now, We can read this in different ways, and I don't have time to go into everything, but for sure he was putting her to the test, or giving her an opportunity to rise to greater faith, and she passed the test, and her faith is on display here. He even says, "How great is your faith?" But he's also teaching us a lesson about the necessity of persevering in prayer. Because what this woman experienced is exactly what we experience when we pray, almost all the time. First of all, we pray and nothing happens. Silence. God doesn't say anything and he doesn't seem to do anything, and we're tempted to think he didn't even hear us. Faith says, keep praying. Humility says, you're not doing this out of, you're not doing this because you deserve it. You're a beggar. That's what humility says. Now, this woman shows us, if we experience silence or no response from God or nothing happens, keep praying. If it looks to us like God is not taking our part, he's blessing others and not us, the response is keep praying. If it looks like to us like God is insulting us, as if he's putting us down, as if he's stripping us rather than filling us, he's making things worse rather than better, and that is what we often experience, the answer is keep praying. You see, the attitude of this woman is the right attitude for anybody who approaches God. Humility and faith. Humility and faith. Because we have faith, we keep asking. We know that God has the power. We know that he's good. We know that he's the answer to our problems. Humility tells us we don't come before him with demands. We don't come to him as an equal. We're not dogs. We're not grasshoppers. We are his children, made in his image. But we're not God. So when we come before him, we say, we don't deserve this, and we don't even need a lot from you, Lord. Just this little scrap from your table is more than enough. And it's true. We don't need every possible grace, although God does give us every grace in the Eucharist, but even a scrap from the table is more than enough to satisfy our deepest needs. Because when God gives himself, he doesn't give scraps. He gives his whole self. That's why we're here. We're here to receive the whole gift of God in the Eucharist. And we let us prepare ourselves for this gift with the humility and with the faith of this Canaanite woman. No matter how small we might feel or helpless we might feel, no matter how much we might feel like a grasshopper or a puppy dog, or a pagan, or a failure, none of that really matters. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on God, on his goodness, his love, his great generosity, his mercy. And then we will receive what our hearts really long for.